What a powerful morning so far, huh? Anybody else glad they showed up for church today? Amen. Me too. And thank you for bearing with me. I did not anticipate those stories making me emotional. I don't know, maybe I'm tired or something today, but you know, it's one thing to get an email or a text message communicating those stories. It's another to be in the room with people that made those stories possible. And so much I could say, so much gratitude in my heart for you all. I was reflecting on some things last night with Kendra and my wife, and we're just talking about, like, you know, we're not a business in the sense that, you know, like, you don't have to give us your money. You have to pay your mortgage. You don't have to give us a penny. The fact that you do, what incredible responsibility is ours to steward that and to be accountable to you and to be accountable to the Lord. And then that God would just give us the privilege of seeing, having a front row seat to those things. Like, I just have never in my life been more convinced and assured, and you all are the only case study I have to go off of, that generosity breeds generosity. And we've just seen it time and time again. And so we were in a board meeting this weekend, a 24-hour board meeting. We don't normally have 24-hour board meetings. It's once a year. And we're just already beginning to dream and think about LBC Gives. And they're like, do you have a number? I'm like, I have a number, but I'm not ready to say it because it's astronomically big. But I just am so sure that God is in it. And so come in October and we'll tell you all about that. But thank you, thank you, thank you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I just never get tired of seeing how God is using LBC to change lives. It's just phenomenal. So speaking of changing lives, I just want to give one last plug. This is a really significant week for us. This Friday, we will kick off CR, Celebrate Recovery. If you've been around with us for the last year, we've kind of been floating this out there saying, hey, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and it's here. It's here this week. And so after service today, our friend Carl and Elle, I believe, will be there as well. Whether you're a man or a woman, makes no difference. They're there to answer your questions, to look you in the eyes and say, you should come, this is for you. There's no pretense about this. I am going because I just can't think of any better use of my Friday night than to be in the people in the room with people who say, I want to find freedom from my hurts, habits, and hangups. And so this Friday, 6 p.m. at Empire High School. If you're not familiar with Empire, it sits right down here at the corner of Marianne, Cleveland, and Houghton. And when you go, if you just go straight to the first building, you'll see a sign that directs you just directly back to the library. And that's where we'll be. 6 p.m., food, snacks, and then at 6:30, we'll kind of jump in. And I've spent a lot of time with Carl, our good friend. In fact, I think we should thank Carl. This feels appropriate. Thank you, Carl. There is nobody better to teach and guide anything in life than someone who has walked that path previously. And that's true of Carl. So I can't think of anybody better. So Carl has just put his life into making this thing go. We should probably actually thank Carl's wife too. Amen. Nicole, if you're here, if you're listening, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to be all in on something that meets 52 weeks a year. There are no breaks because hurts, habits, and hangups don't take breaks. And so you need to come together as often as you can. So I just want to say to those of you that are on the fence, I think you should go. I think you should go. If you're feeling that nudge, whether it's from your spouse or from the Holy Spirit, they're kind of the same. I'm kidding. They're not. If you've been listening, you would know. Anyhow, you should go. You should go if you're on the fence. At least just give it a shot and see what God does. If it's anything like the ones I've experienced, you just never want to leave. You just are like, this could go on forever, and I would be good with that. So this Friday, we'll put it out there on our social media again. We'll flood you with reminders because we believe there's an aspect of spiritual warfare going on here to keep you from going. And so we don't want that. Even if it's as simple as, like, I totally forgot, we want to eliminate all those barriers that potentially stand in the way of you going. So this Friday, I hope to see many of you there. It would just be delightful to be in the room with all of you. So, all right, week three of our series, Things Unseen, Understanding and Living the Spirit-Filled Life. I just want to say it's been a joy for me to connect with a number of you, whether it's through your emails, your text, or you're just stopping me saying, hey, this has personally challenged me in some very significant ways. Thank you. That's the goal. But I will also say back to you, I've been equally as challenged, if not more so. When you spend as much time with something like this, it can't help but just kind of seep into the pores of your soul eventually, even if you resist it. And that's been my experience as I've just been kind of saturating my mind and my heart and my iPad and all the things with what all the things about the Holy Spirit that I'm trying to absorb and then maybe pass on to you as God would so lead. I've been deeply challenged myself. I hope you are as we try to collectively understand the mystery that is the Holy Spirit. We're trying to understand something that's mysterious and that we know some things about, but not everything about. And then how do we take what we know and understand of the Holy Spirit and how does that directly impact our lives and our faith? And so just by way of review, by where we've been so far in the series, week one, I kind of pitched to you why we need this series. I tried to make a compelling case for Jesus said, it is better for you that I go away, that the counselor may come. And so if Jesus used the word better, then we want to bring our hearts and our minds to the same level, believing like, oh yeah, it is actually better. We can understand what Jesus meant when he said it's better, because for most of us, the starting point is not there. The starting point is like, are you kidding, Jesus? Like, please don't leave. And that his disciples surely felt that way, right? The people that he was communicating that promise to, it's better that for you that I go away. And they're like, wait, what are you talking about? And so we wanted to try and bring our hearts to that level of saying like, oh yeah, we can see it because we experience it for ourselves. Second week, last week, we answered the question, who is the Holy Spirit, as best we could, right? And my intent was sort of to try and build this foundation. It's still my intent as we go. If you were here with last week, you'd likely remember me saying that it was going to feel a little bit like a seminary lecture in part. But the purpose of last week, if you were here, you can catch it on our YouTube channel if you missed it. We covered some more of the what you would just describe as the theology of the Holy Spirit, pneumatology, if you really want to impress people at lunch today. Pneumatology, the P is silent. Got it? You don't care. We covered theology of the Holy Spirit because, this is what I said last week, you cannot love and trust that which you do not know and understand. You cannot love and trust your life to that which you do not know and do not understand. I was in my head last week because, to me it felt like just some maybe theology seminary, you know. And as a pastor, maybe that's interesting, right? But to the average person, it's like, ugh. And my dear, sweet mother-in-law, I'll leave it to her to, like, help me get out of my head. She texted me. She's like, that's one of your best sermons ever. And I was like, well, thank you. So here we are. We came back for another week. You cannot love and trust that which you do not know and understand. That is true of humans and our human relationships with one another, and that is true of God, and there's no getting around that. You cannot love and trust what you do not know. So we took some time last week. I hope the intent was to personalize the Holy Spirit, to take it from this theological concept and abstract and try and really intersect it into our lives. Considering his personal nature, his emotions, his will, his deity, that was last week. And notice I'm saying he because the starting point last week was to say it's not an it. We're not talking about an it. We're not talking about a concept. We're talking about a person, person of the Holy Spirit, as much person as God the Father and God the Son. And I also mentioned to you last week as we move forward in this series, which is what we're doing now starting today, we're gonna slowly start to take what feels somewhat abstract and slowly bring it closer to the schedule of our lives and say, okay, cool that we all are masters in pneumatology now, but how does that translate into my marriage? How does that translate into those parenting moments where I'm up to my head in frustration with my kids? How does that translate into the difficult health diagnosis that I just got? How does that translate into the board meeting, to the budget meeting, or to the interview for the job? Like, how do we take this Holy Spirit, which hopefully by now we're starting to believe is is real, is a thing, and intersect it more closely into our lives. That's been my intent with this series, is to take the abstract and to bring it ever near. And so that's what we're going to try and do today and in the weeks to come. Because, you know, not lost on me is that we're human, which means we think selfishly like humans, right? We always are looking out for who? Ourselves. So even in something that should be spiritual and should be whatever, however you want to think of it, which is our very faith, we're still asking those selfish personal questions. How does this impact me? How does the Holy Spirit actually benefit me, impact me, change my life? And so I'm going to begin to hopefully help us answer those questions. And so we're going to put the next layer on this thing today by considering this, the role of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about what it's like, and now we're going to talk about what it does. The Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? If you remember last week, we talked about God being a triune God. One God, right? Three parts, all equal, yet distinct. And you were all like, yep, clear as mud. If you remember that, yes? One God, three parts, all equal, yet distinct. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? The word role, R-O-L-E, implies that the Holy Spirit has a unique part in this triune deity. Role would indicate you do something that others don't do. So if you think of a sports team, right? If you're on a football team, everybody has the wide receiver plays a different role than the quarterback, than a different role than the offensive lineman. I mean, you understand that in your workplaces, right? The teacher has a different role than the bus driver, than the principal. Like, everybody has their role, and yet they are unified, hopefully, in a healthy, good organization. Or like the Packers, for example, who are going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're so unified, and they all play their role. But some of you just aren't Christians yet. You don't understand what I mean when I talk about that. I'm kidding. let me get my thought back. The Holy Spirit has distinct roles that I want us to explore together, and that's what we're going to do for a few minutes. But first, let me give you this quote from Francis Chan. He wrote a book. You ever had those moments where you're like, oh, there's a good book out recently, and you're like, this book's 15 years old. Like, what happened? Where did the last 15 years go? But he wrote a book some number of years ago called Forgotten God, which is only about the theme of the book is the Holy Spirit. Forgotten God. And in it, he says this: if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers. So congratulations, you fit that description. You are a churchgoer. One of my main strategies, if I were Satan trying to thwart the kingdom, God's kingdom and God's purposes, would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. To ignore the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, the degree to which this has happened, and it past tense, ongoing, has happened, is happening, is directly connected to the dissatisfaction that most of us feel with and in the church. Because we understand intrinsically, deep in our souls, that something very important is missing. Something very important is missing. Put all that together. If you were Satan, your temptation would not necessarily be that you go throw your life away on loose living, so to speak, although that happens, but more so that you would just ignore the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us, to say, this is the agent of change. This is the agent of transformation. This is the agent of regeneration and encouragement and peace and all the things that the Holy Spirit does for you. If you could just get Rob to ignore that, then you have Rob where you want Rob, in a place of discouragement, disillusionment, doubt. They all ironically start with D's, but that wasn't intentional. So I want us to be able to clearly recognize the role of the Spirit in our lives so that we can't miss it and therefore don't ignore it, that it would be unignorable, if you will, that you just cannot miss it. Not to say that you necessarily embrace it, but you cannot ignore it. It is not the forgotten God. It is not the familiar stranger. Some of these books that I've been reading all these titles carry a similar name. Forgotten God, familiar stranger, like it's there, but it's out there. And so I want to bring it close so that we cannot ignore it. We cannot miss it in our lives. And so that you, your faith, your trust and your love and your courage around the Holy Spirit is just deepened every single moment as you experience the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. So what role does the Holy Spirit play? I'm so glad you asked. Many. And I'm just going to kind of shotgun these out for us today, and we'll just let them land as they need to. First, the Spirit convicts us of sin. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? One of them is that it convicts us of sin. You start with the worst because I'm trying, you know, like, oh boy, here we go. You got to have this. We would call it a conscience. The Bible calls it the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about a guilty conscience, yes, that is true. I would call it the conviction of the Holy Spirit because I think that's in line with what the scripture shows us. John 16:7-8, I believe it is. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. You're familiar with that verse. It's kind of been our theme verse. Because if I don't go away, the counselor, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. If I go, I will send him. Remember, he's a person. I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's his role. He will give you the guilty conscience, if you will, although it is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It is not condemnation, and that's an important distinction. The role of the Holy Spirit is not to make you feel like an absolute scumbag. The role of the Holy Spirit is to make you aware that you are an absolute scumbag and Jesus can change that, if that makes sense. This is a Psalm of David. This is a prayer of David. This is Psalm 1, gosh, my notes are off today. Help me out. 139. By the way, deity was misspelled last week on the screens. Anybody catch that other than my wife? Okay, my fault. Don't ever assume it's our other people's fault. It's always my fault. I just, typo, what can I say? Forgive me. Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. And see if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. And so we would take this prayer of David, who's kind of saying, bring about the conviction of sin in my life. How does this searching that David is praying for happen in his soul? It happens through the Spirit of God acting upon his heart. And when it does, we experience conviction. I can promise you, friends, if you took 5 minutes a day to just say, God, help me to see anything I don't see that you would like to change in me, I guarantee you that would be a prayer that gets answered. The Holy Spirit brings about an awareness and a conviction of sin in our life. It is the Spirit of God that convicts us, shows us, helps us to recognize the sin in our hearts. But then you take it a step further. The Spirit not only convicts us, this is the beautiful part of it, it also frees us from the power of sin. So here's the best way to think of it. It is one thing to be convicted of it and to be aware of it. It's another to be able to overcome it. And for too many people, the attempt is to overcome it in our own strength and power. And quite frankly, most of us can't. Most of us fail miserably all the time. How many of you, raise your hand if you want to be vulnerable. I'll raise my hand. How many of you have a habit or a habitual sin that you've said a million times, no more, that was the last time? Anybody? A bad habit, someplace you go, and maybe it's an emotion, it's anger, it's losing your temper, it's lust, it's greed, it's not taking care of your body, whatever it is. And you've told yourself a million times, that's it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let that thing, that habit, that hang up, that hurts, it's a plug for CR, to have power over me anymore, and you fail again and again and again and again. You have the conviction, you have the awareness, but you do not have the power to overcome it on your own. And so the Holy Spirit frees us from the power of sin. Romans 8:1-2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, they are free. Because the law of the Spirit, there it is, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. How did the freedom come about? Through the Spirit of God acting upon you. through the Spirit of God acting upon you. You are free. There is now no condemnation. The worst existence in the world is to be convicted of sin and to be under the condemnation of that because you don't think that you have any way to change that. That there's no worse existence that you could have than to be aware of something that's wrong and just feel stuck with no way to change it. It probably is, yeah, anyhow. And the Holy Spirit changes that, free from the power of sin. Continuing in Romans chapter 8, this is verses 12 and 13. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. If the flesh has power over you, it kills you. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will be free, is what Paul is essentially writing. Like, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he talks about it here again. If you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. Those very things that would kill you, those very things that would enslave you, those very things that would overpower you, you put those things to death by the power of the Spirit, and you will live. You will be free. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. This is such a great verse. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, say it with me, freedom. There is freedom. Quite honestly, the whole foundation of what CR is about, which we're going to launch Friday, is this truth right here. That's the whole premise. If you just said, give me one verse to describe CR, I would probably give you that one. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, in a library on a Friday night in a public high school, there is freedom. For so long, people are enslaved to their own efforts to be free from those truths. And you know what? It's noble. You should try. You should try and fight those things. But the reality is the reason they're so powerful is because you can't beat them on your own. They have a stronghold on your life. And the Spirit of God gets freedom from sin, not just conviction, but also freedom. It would be so cruel of God to bring about conviction with no way out, no freedom from that. Which is why, again, plugging CR is so gospel-centered, and it's not just a self-help program, not just a self-help 12-step program. Those things exist, they have their place. I don't think they're permanently effective because you are just depending on your flesh to never again fail you. Hello, I don't have 1 ounce of confidence in myself that I won't fail again. Apart from God. So the Spirit of God would give you freedom from the power of sin. That which you cannot do yourself, the Spirit of God does in you, breaking those strongholds. Thirdly, the Spirit confirms our adoption as children of God. I love this. There are no adoption papers signed. When you came into LBC, we didn't ask you to sign any paperwork that I'm aware of. Like, hey, this is how do I know I'm a child of God? How is it? Because I show up here on Sundays, I'll let you down softly. No, no, it's not. That has no bearing on it. Rather, because the very Spirit of God inhabits your soul. That's how you know you're an adopted child of God. Back to Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have a father. We have an adopted father. He's adopted us in his children. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. How do you know you're a child of God? Because the Spirit himself testifies together with your spirit. What you want to believe to be true, the Spirit meets you in that place and says, yes, in fact, it is true. Good news, it is true. Meets us in that place to say, you are God's children. And here's what I will say. The devil works overtime to confuse us of our identity. Have you noticed that? You see it especially among our young people, but even all ages. No one's immune to it. It's an epidemic among our young people. The devil works overtime to confuse us of our identity. Remember the quote that I read you a moment ago? If you could just get people to ignore the transformational power of the Holy Spirit, you have them right where you want them. If you can convince someone that maybe they are not a child of God, Maybe that thing from their past has permanently disqualified them from being in the family of God. Like, whatever that is, right? But the Spirit of God confirms your adoption as a child of God, because the Spirit of God inhabits our lives, confirming that we are, in fact, children of God. Fourthly, the Spirit guides us in truth. By the way, these are in the Sunday Hub, as far as I know. I've only been to the Sunday Hub like once in my life. Hopefully you go there a lot more. But if you're not a writer and you just like, I want to remember these things, they're always there in the Sunday Hub, I believe. So that's there for you. If you don't know anything about Sunday Hub, ask Preston. The Spirit guides us in truth. So there are so many competing voices in the world today. Maybe you've noticed that. How do we know what is true? How do we understand the truth of God and the voice of God versus the lies of the world? Is this, it's all noisy. It's all, quite honestly, somewhat believable. I mean, we talked a little bit about AI, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, and how, I think it was last week, how believable that stuff has become. But that's still mostly in a visual sense, and then maybe not even in that big of a, it's kind of inconsequential whether the picture of the sunset is AI or someone's camera. I don't really care. It's beautiful. But it's bigger than that is the point. And the voices seem real, and the info or the truth, if you will, all seems real. It seems believable. How do you know what is true? How do you know the voice of God versus the lies of the world? The Spirit of God is how you know that. John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, there's a Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears. And He will also declare to you what is to come. And goes, and there's more of that. John 14, 26, but the Counselor, another Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So this is Jesus talking, right? We see the triune God right here. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have told you. And some have, I think, appropriately said the Holy Spirit has no new content of His own. Isn't that interesting to think about? Rather, He is an echo, a divine echo of all that Jesus has already said. He causes us to remember the things that Christ has already taught us. How many of you have had a situation where all of a sudden you just remember a scripture or a Bible verse out of the blue and you're like, I don't know where that came from, because I'm not necessarily the most studious Bible scholar, if you will. The Spirit of God brings to mind the things that Jesus said. All that I've taught you, Jesus said, the Spirit will remind you of those things long after I'm gone. Long after I'm gone. He reveals to our minds the whole counsel of God, instructing us how to worship, right theology, the right way to live, everything. He is the ultimate guide, going before us, leading the way, removing those barriers to our understanding. And without the Holy Spirit as our guide, leading us towards truth, we are prone to fall into error, and better people than myself have done that. 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you. This is about to take me out of a job, this next sentence. And you don't need anyone to teach you. You missed the joke. Instead, His anointing teaches you. What do you do when you don't have favorite Pastor Rob on Monday morning to teach you what you should believe about the Holy Spirit? He remains in you, not me, the Spirit of God. And you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, His anointing, His Spirit, His indwelling teaches you all things that is true and is not a lie, just as it is taught you. Remain in Him. That's why one of my goals as a pastor, one of my aims as a pastor, is to get you to understand that what we do here on Sundays is so, so good, so right, so biblical, so necessary. But if it is all that is, if it's your only spiritual supplement, you are famished. Because you have to have, like it said here, like His anointing teaches you all things and remains in you. on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday until you come back here the next Sunday. You have the Spirit of God guiding you and leading you and teaching you all that is true. Isaiah 30, 21, this is such a great verse. Wherever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. How many of you would just say, I would pay a lot of money to have somebody every day just follow me around and say, no, don't do that. You can't see what's going to happen if you do that. Don't make that phone call. Don't send that email. Don't shoot that text. Don't go through that door. Like, wouldn't it just be nice to say, this is the way, Rob, walk in it. I'd pay a lot of money for that. Give me a robot. I don't care. Give me an AI robot. That's the picture of the Spirit that we get here in Isaiah. Like, if you're like me, you can get in your head really easily, right? And the promise of the Spirit is like, hey, stop listening to yourself, actually, and listen to me. That I would guide you and I would take you in the direction that you need to go. Wherever you go, to your right, to your left, you will hear this command, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. You staying with me? Just a few more and then we'll be done. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. Gives us hope. This is sort of a benediction verse from Paul later in the book of Romans, in Romans 15, but it speaks to this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of what? The Holy Spirit. Hope is not typically self-generated. It has to be a third party, if you will. The source of hope says, like, okay, my circumstances are such that they feel rather hopeless. And so I need a third party, some other agent to infuse in me hope, to help me to believe that it's actually going to be okay. I'm actually going to get through this. I'm actually going to make it to the finish line of this thing called life. And the Holy Spirit is that agent for us and gives us hope. And I would just say, and you know this to be true, how desperate the world is for hope today. There is a pervasive spirit of hopelessness in the world today that is just suffocating people. Just suffocating people. I was just made aware yesterday of a young person that made an attempt on their life. Like, it's just all around us. It's just all around us. It might be in this room. There's a spirit of hopelessness in the world today that is suffocating people, and the Bible reminds us that we need the Spirit of God, which gives hope to our weary souls. Next, the Spirit of God regenerates us, giving us new life. In the book of Ezekiel, this is God's promise to restore his people. And mind you, his people had been naughty. They had disobeyed, they had rejected him, they had turned their backs on him, they doubted him, they've questioned him, they've complained against him. They've done all those things. Rejected the prophets that he would send to them. And this is his promise to restore them in Ezekiel chapter 36. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries where you've been scattered to, where you've been oppressed and enslaved to, and will bring you into your own land. And I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my Spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe all of my ordinances. So the Spirit of God regenerates us, giving us new life. Where there is a dead, calloused heart, God brings new life. Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, this is talking about Jesus, he saved us. That's what Jesus did. Not by works of righteousness that we had done. In other words, there was nothing appealing about us. Jesus was like, wow, these people are nailing it. I'm going to go down and tell them good news. I'm here to save you all. No, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy. If you could just tie it back to Ezekiel, like, what had the Israelites done to get this promise of restoration and regeneration from God? Absolutely nothing. And quite honestly, everything that they shouldn't do, they had done. And the kindness of God appeared, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. There's a regeneration that happens. The Spirit gives us new life through faith in Christ. I'm going to tell you this. Some of the people that I've seen come to faith, that have been up on the stage, shared their testimonies with you for Baptism Sunday, which, by the way, is 3 weeks from today. There's more of you, I'm believing, that are ready to take that step. We already have six. It's incredible. But some people that have been on this stage and shared their stories, there is no other explanation other than it is the Spirit of God regenerating their dead, calloused heart and giving them new life in Christ. Giving them new life in Christ. The Spirit also intercedes in our prayers. I'm not going to say much about this because in one of the coming weeks, we're going to have an entire week devoted to more of this idea of prayer and the Holy Spirit and how those things are connected. But I'll just give you this for today. Romans chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should. Is that true of anybody other than me? You sit down to pray and you're like, I don't even know. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of God because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I'll tell you something very vulnerable right now. You know, our daughter, her communication is limited. And sometimes that's in the form of sounds, groans, etc. And I always think of this verse. Always. Inexpressible groanings. God, the same way I am, after 10 years of being her dad, learning what those groans and those sounds and those things mean, and then responding in accordance to that, what I think, Spirit of God intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings, searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, if your words don't make sense, it's okay. Because the Spirit of God intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit empowers our witness for Jesus. I only have one more after this, I promise. Some of us have a spirit of fear when it comes to speaking out for our faith. But if I truly believe that the gospel is in fact good news, which is what the word means, gospel, then I would want it for as many people as I could possibly give it to. There's a powerful example of this in Acts chapter 4. So the context very quickly, Peter and John, they're essentially the leaders of the early church at that point in Acts. We went through Acts. They've been arrested, they've been taken before the Jewish leaders, and their example of boldness is becoming infectious and contagious to all the disciples who are, they're new to this whole Christianity thing, they're new to this early church, and it's not going well. They're being persecuted, their leaders are now imprisoned and before the Jewish authorities, and this is that they're getting their confidence back, as we sang earlier in this song. There's a spirit of boldness that is inspiring them. This is Acts chapter 4. When they had prayed and the place where they were assembled was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak the word of God, what? Boldly, with confidence, with confidence. And then one final way, although it's probably not the only, but for today. The last role that we see in the Holy Spirit, perhaps my favorite, maybe it's why I saved it for the end. The Spirit of God counsels, comforts, and encourages us. The first promise of this from Jesus came in John 14. You've seen this now. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Greek word for the word counselor translates to mean, this is a beautiful visual picture for us. It means something like one who is called alongside of. Like, I've summoned you to come and just support me and to walk beside me. And when I stumble, nope, you're going to catch me. Or when I drift, you're going to pull me back. And when I'm weak, you're going to push me up. That's the imagery of that word. One who is called alongside has the idea of someone walking beside me, encouraging me each step of the way. And I can't think of a more powerful and beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit than that. Each step, in each situation, God is walking with you and encouraging you and lifting you up by your Spirit. And then shortly after the promise of the counselor, Jesus said this, very quickly after that, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled or fearful. Remember, Jesus is preparing them to go away. I'm going to go away. I'm not going to be here with you much longer. And they're freaking out. And so first he gives them the promise of this counselor guy that's going to be with them forever. And then he goes on to say, my peace I leave with you. Don't let your hearts be troubled or fearful. And you're like, yeah, sure, Jesus. Easy for you to say, right? And we might skeptically ask, just like the disciples were probably inclined to ask themselves, like, how is it possible to not be troubled or afraid? And some of you would just look at the circumstances of your life today and say, how is it possible to not be troubled or afraid when I'm going through fill in the blank? Cancer, divorce, addiction, financial strain, like whatever it is, kids who are going the wrong direction. How is it possible, God, to not be troubled or afraid? Disciples are asking Jesus, like, you lost your mind? Jesus is like, because I give you my peace in the form of the Holy Spirit, the counselor who will, here's a fun fact, be with you forever. My friends, some of you need to experience that afresh today. Some of you are so anxious. Some of you are so confused. Some of you are so overwhelmed by life. And listen, I am all for exhausting all the earthly resources we can. I have a counselor who I see once or twice a month. He's a gift to me. He's a friend to me. It's helpful for me. It's good to have those people to process life with. But let me remind you, you always have the counselor and the friendship of the Holy Spirit with you at all times. Always. Just as Jesus intended it to be. And some of you just need a friend. You just need a friend in your place of loneliness today. 2 Corinthians 13, you're not going to see it on the screen, but it talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's just a churchy way of saying the friendship of the Holy Spirit. It's a fellowship that gets shared with the Holy Spirit. It's just a friend to you. It's a friend to you to walk beside you and to encourage you and to counsel you, because life is, if anything, it's confusing, is it not? What you're certain of today, you will not be certain of 6 months from now. It's just confusing, and it's hard, and it's all those things. And what a good, gracious gift from God to us to say, here you go. A counselor who's on call 24/7, just to be with you and to guide you and to uphold you and to correct you, to convict you. Remember, we started there. Convict you of those things that are wayward in your life and in your heart, but not in a spirit of condemnation, but in a spirit of freedom and regeneration, so that you may not live in condemnation, but you may live in the spirit and the power of freedom of Jesus. And so I want to wrap up our time a little differently today. This isn't weird. This is just me being responsive to God. I just want to invite you to stand. We're not going to do anything weird, I promise. I just want you to stand. And I just want to pray over you. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray over you. That's pretty much all I'm going to do. I just want to pray over you, and I also want to give you just a moment to stand in quiet reflection. And something that I was encouraged to do recently, I'm going to encourage you to do, and if it would help you to receive from God today what you need in the form of the Holy Spirit, whatever role that is, you would just, right where you're standing, you just open your hands, just in a posture of receiving. It's not weird, it's just to say, like, it's just a posture of saying, I'll take it. I'll take whatever you can give me today, God, in the form of the Holy Spirit today. And so I just want to call these things out over us. And if it's what you need, you claim it. You have faith in Jesus, these things are available to you today. And so maybe you need the voice of conviction over your life today for some unconfessed sin. Then ask God to give you that by His Spirit. Maybe you need freedom from the bondage and power of sin that you've been trying to defeat unsuccessfully on your own for too long, then would you just ask God to give you that today? Give me freedom. Give me freedom from the bondage of sin. I'm going to CR Friday, but today, God, I need freedom. I can't wait 5 days. I need freedom today. Maybe you need that confirmation that certainly you are a child of God by the very Spirit of God living in you today. Maybe your earthly family has been a giant disappointment to you. Maybe you don't even really know much of an earthly family. You have a heavenly Father who by faith in Jesus says, you are my child. And so you ask God to give you that today. Maybe you need the Holy Spirit to guide you in truth in a season of confusion, or to give you hope in a season of despair. Maybe it's that you need a spirit of regeneration of your heart that you need, or just the confidence to know that the very Spirit of God is interceding for you, carrying your prayers to the Father. They are not empty. They matter. But you just need that reminder today that the Spirit of God is carrying those prayers. Inexpressible groanings to the very heart of God. Maybe you need your witness for Jesus empowered by the Spirit of God so that you can go back into your workplace, you can go back into your place of business and say, let me tell you that the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus has changed my life. Lastly, maybe you just need that counselor, that comforter, that friend to just be by your side, guiding you, walking with you, protecting you, sustaining you. All of these things are yours and mine today through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know we're running short on time. I know some of you like to get a head start on getting your kids and making it to the car, but I'm just going to encourage us to stay and to stay in this posture of receiving as we sing to God. God is here by His Spirit, and He's doing all of these things and even more that we're unaware of, and yet He knows each individual need. Someone needs the friend, someone needs the conviction, someone needs the empowerment, someone needs the freedom, someone needs the regeneration, someone needs the hope, someone needs the truth. And He, by His Spirit, gives us all those things. And so if this song will help you, this is your moment, this is our moment. Just say, I receive this today, God, by Your Spirit. Fill me now, in Jesus' name.